The views expressed in this interview are those of the individuals and do not reflect the official policy or position of the U.S. government, the Department of Defense, the U.S. Navy, or the Naval Postgraduate School. Welcome to the Trident Room, brewer of stout conversation, unfiltered and on tap. On today's episode, host Elena Youngblood and senior producer Sarah Dixon highlight reports from guests at the Hotel Del Monte of various spiritual encounters and attempt to connect them to the hotel's exciting and dramatic past.
If you stay at the hotel, there's actually a logbook where you can write down if something not quite right, little hairs stir on the back of your neck, you can write that down. And people have actually been doing this from 2010 to now. And so there are many different stories. And I'm going to go over a few of those stories, and then I'm going to kind of put my own suspicions out there as to who and what and why. This haunting source at the front desk, my primary source?
I would say it's primary source, since we are in an academic environment.
Exactly. You know, you got to quote the source, make sure everything's footnoted and everything. So 57 stories, as I said, they span from about 2010 to present day. And of these 57 stories, let's just recap what we have to look for. We have four deaths. We have the curator. We have Mr. Billings. And we have a honeymoon couple.
Which we don't have names. No names of the honeymoon couple.
I do not have names. I'm sure if I were to go crazy, I might find something, but it would be...
You'd have to go like civilians, historics or something.
Exactly. I'm sure there is a fantastic historian here in the area, because there's actually a lot of my sources that I got information from were local historians that put stuff online. There's actually pictures and stuff. If you want to do a quick Google search, there's a lot of pictures of like the fire and the earthquake and that kind of stuff.
We can put all of that in the show notes.
Yeah, I have the sources that I found that in. We have four deaths. We have the curator, Mr. Billings, and the honeymoon couple. We have two fires and one earthquake. Going through these 57 stories, I did a data analysis, as one does in an academic military setting. Throughout the stories, there seemed to be three main entities that reoccurred. There was a man in black. There was a woman with her hair in a bun.
Okay.
And then there was a child.
Interesting.
Yes, but we don't have any record of children.
We don't have any record of a child's death.
Yeah. I'm going to put in that there is a fourth entity, and that is a trickster. An invisible trickster.
An invisible trickster.
I'll get there.
Okay.
So starting with the man in black, he has been seen all over the hotel. He's been inside various guest rooms. He's been on the staircase and in front of the elevators. He's generally seen, as noted with the term man in black, and actually there's several different stories that say, quote, man in black. He is dressed in a black nice suit. He has a black hat. There is one story that is from April of 2011 that mentions a man in black in a suit that looked burned. His skin was cracked and might be bleeding.
Oh, like a burn victim.
Like a burn victim. Obvious conclusion there. He always does seem to be slightly menacing, or at least the people that talk about them feel uncomfortable. He's always watching. He never really interacts with anybody, but they'll see him in a corner, or it just makes you, you're just kind of
like someone, you're being watched.
Yeah, someone's in the corner watching you, and they're in it. They're doing it in a nice suit. Like that's just it's a bit creepy. A lot of them, he was in the bathrooms. They would walk past the bathroom door, and he'd be standing in the bathroom. He'd be standing in a closet, and generally downstairs in the basement, he would be standing in the hallway, standing in the Prada room.
Man, I've been all through the basement and down this. Yeah, you know, that's where a recording studio is. So I'm just, they're in the basement. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we're in the basement right now. It could be there right now. So obviously, if we were to go with the people that have passed, it could be Charles Crocker. He was the proprietor. He obviously would be dressed in a nice suit most of the time, I would assume. And
he would know his way around the hotel. He'd be interested in checking to make sure bathrooms or closets and or hallways, like everything's kind of working or in place. Or up to snuff.
Like up to his standard, right? And maybe they're not. And maybe a guest put a towel on the floor and he didn't, I don't know. Like, you know.
Crocker didn't die in a fire.
He didn't. He
died in the hotel.
He had died in the hotel, but he died a year and 4 months after the fire. He could have been hurt. However, there's also a local author who has passed now. He did pass in July of 2023. At age 88. Mr. Randy Reinstadt, I hope I say that correctly. He was known locally as the king of ghost stories. He has 21 self-published copies, and supposedly, according to his website, it sold over 400,000 copies, but his family admittedly lost count. So
oh, wow.
He is just known for traveling up and down the coast, he was very, very passionate about recording that kind of supernatural history of California and Monterey specifically. So when you do research ghost stories of the Del Monte Hotel, his stories or his books will come up. I did find that he does mention a legend that after the first fire, there is a legend of that they did a head count and one firefighter was missing. I don't have any records of this, but it's kind of like a, like, you know that this happened type of local legend. So it's possible that there was a firefighter that is kind of, maybe that was the burnt person, or I'm sure people were injured in trying to put out the flames. I mean, it burned the entire building down. That had to have been hot.
The black suit and the black hat wouldn't be a firefighter, but they probably didn't have the same firefighter uniform that we know today, the bright yellow and the reflector tape and all of that. They might have just been in everyday clothes, which in the 1800s.
Maybe he had gone to a party. I don't know.
Maybe he was just a volunteer, and showed up to help fight the fire.
We have two possibilities for this man in black. We have a Charles Crocker, who did die on the ground, but did not die in the fire, but he was alive for the fire that burnt his entire hotel, the thing that he had worked so hard for.
Worked so hard to build.
Died a year and 4 months after that burning, so I would assume that consumed the last part of his life. So there's that. Then there is the, what I'm going to term, the unseen trickster. There's actually not that many stories about the man in black. What the majority of the stories are of these little tricks, right? And there's no presence, there's no body, there's no one sees an apparition when that happens. But as I said, there was 57 stories, right? Let me go through these statistics with you. There are 16 mentions of the lights or the fan going on and off in the rooms. So lights and fans will constantly go on and off. There are 4 stories of people getting locked in their bathrooms, like in their actual room bathrooms, for at least 20 to 30 minutes with no explanation. All of a sudden, the door worked.
What are those room numbers? I don't want to stay in those rooms.
Yeah, I know, right? Or like they're leaving and they need to get their suitcases out of the closet, and the door all of a sudden doesn't open. And so they'll call down to the front desk and they'll be like, they'll send somebody up, and then the person tries, they can't get in. All of a sudden, one person just walks over and it easily opens. And then there's 3 stories of the curtains blowing when windows are not open. In one of them, apparently a little girl who was staying there had quite enough, told the ghost in quite firm tone, good night. And the blowing stopped.
So the little girl was like a guest.
Yes. She said, good night. And the ghost said, my bad. And stopped. So there are 3 stories of devices being used to play songs. Now, this I really enjoyed. Basically, depending on one of the very first stories in the logbook is a worker who was going around cleaning the rooms, and in different rooms, the radio would come on and play the same song or just where it left off kind of situation.
Oh, interesting.
There is another one that a person was trying to plug their phone into the phone radio thing in the room, and it was playing songs that were not on the person's phone. But I do think that this ghost has really good taste. So some of the songs that has been recorded to be played is Killing Me Softly by the Fugees, a cover for them. And then How Do I by Trisha Yearwood. Don't Forget About Me, Simple Minds. Every Breath You Take by The Police. And I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
More modern music. Not anything that dates back to when we would have thought the deaths occurred.
It's very interesting. But those are kind of easy listening.
Yeah.
songs. So maybe there's a genre that this one likes. So there's 3 cases of knocking on the doors. There's one with someone in the hall said, housekeeping. And there's nobody there.
Whoa, that's crazy.
There's one where like the doorknob turned. And then there was one where the do not disturb sign that they had put on the inside, like they didn't put it on the outside like most people. They just kept it on the inside. But that door, that do not disturb, was like swinging. And then one of my faves, there's 2 independent stories of toilet paper flying or rolling across the female bathroom in the basement next to the Trident room. I always felt a little weird going in there, and I never wanted to say anything to anybody because they're like, yeah, fine, whatever. You're just being weird. But I will not go in there if the light is off. The light's out, I'm going upstairs.
Oh, that's funny.
When I was here before, it was always very creepy for me to go in by myself. So I saw that and I was like, I knew that there was something going on in there. There's 2 stories of clothes being moved either from the end of the bed and folded or pulled from closet hangers. Like someone tries to hang up their clothes and they'll pull it down and it'll be in a crumple in the bottom. 2 stories of a toothpaste cap, like a rank insignia or something on the counter, thrown off.
Knocked off with no cap.
No cap. No, I did try to check that out because we all know how that goes. So there's 1 each of this very interesting story of this couple went to bed and they had been told that there was going to be water work done while they're at, overnight. So they'd gone in and made sure that all of their faucets in the bathroom were closed.
Turned off.
Yeah. So there'd be no water flow because it was off.
Yeah, not running.
And they were like checking the water to see if they're like, oh, we got told that there's water things. It'll come back later. So they closed them to all make sure that they wouldn't happen. They wouldn't be asleep in like water flow. So they woke up and they heard water and they went to go like, oh, maybe we missed one or something. Right. So they go to the bathroom and they step down and there's inches of water on their floor and it's scalding hot. So they had to walk through the scalding hot water to turn off the water that had been just pouring out. But they like, we knew that we turned off all the water. And all of a sudden there was water everywhere. So there's that. Yep. A fridge that was rocking back and forth physically from side to side. Pistachio shells that randomly appeared all over the floor. Heavy breathing on a staircase. Drawers being pulled open and just leaving like staircase kind of drawers being open pattern being pushed in and then come back and they're all open again. So basically what you see is all the poltergeist activity you've ever seen on any movie.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a trickster who just wants to pull pranks on guests.
Exactly.
Right?
Like nothing is going to kill you. Nothing is going to harm you in any way, but it is going to make you uncomfortable. And if I was a prankster, that's exactly what I would do.
Oh, yeah. Those are the types of things that my husband would do to make me be like, to annoy me or something. Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, you're just pranking me, pulling my leg. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it was Billings and he's our prankster. And he tried, his first prank was April 1st fire in 1887. And it was just too far. And now he just does the little thing. That was too much. It's too much damage. That was the vast majority of all the haunting stuff that I found in the record was all of these little prankster stuff. The other really cool thing that I did find, kind of a theme, is what I'm going to call the bed action.
The bed action.
Bed action.
Okay.
So this is kind of like my last little story time piece. This was the most diverse realm of stories that all had kind of a similar theme. And I'm going to say that similar theme was protection. Interesting, right? There were three stories with people that had felt weighed down in bed. So like there was somebody on them or they were being held down. One was a woman. They felt that the figure was a woman that was holding them down. One felt it was a man that was holding them down. And then one was like a black shadow. So they woke up. That's scary.
Yeah.
Being held down in bed. Like you can't move. There's a weight on you. And it feels like it's another person.
Yeah.
That's definitely scary. I'm not going to say that it's not. And then there's a couple stories of waking up and there being a woman in the room next to the bed, smiling. She's described the same way. By the same people or different people, same way, in old timey clothes, blue and white dress, and her hair is up in a bun, like kind of a light color, like someone says gray, someone says blonde, hair up in a bun. And then there's one case of a girl cuddling the guest in a bed, which I'm not sure about. And then one, a fog figure was pushing an occupant in the bed, one of a bed being shaken in the middle of the night. And then one guest walked into the room and felt immediately heavy air. But felt that the heavy air was trying to protect them from the open door they were very high up and there was like a railing or something. They couldn't go towards that dangerous situation. It was heavy, but they were protecting them from endangering themselves.
And all of these have a theme of protection.
Protection. And it's all revolving around the bed or the room or being held down or weighted in such a way. And my theory is that this is the couple. This is the honeymoon couple.
That they died in their bed when the chimney fell on them.
It is either that these people are waking up and they feel the couple on top of them. The couple is like protecting them from that chimney or, you know, some sort of like they're trying to protect the guests from being killed like they were.
Yeah.
So Mr. Reinstadt, the historical writer, he actually writes about a legend that's called the Man in Gray. There are guests. Now, none of this was written down. This is in his books, but it's not in the logbook.
His books might predate some of the logbook.
Yes.
The logbook is 2010. Some of his stuff might predate the logbook.
But there's a particular instance where he writes, he was notified and came immediately type of situation. This person sees this ghost or sees this person. No one else can see them. Come quickly.
Oh.
And so he was able to interview that woman and he was able to interview these other people in the moment, according to the story that was kind of put out on his book, right? So this woman, I think it was at a ball, like a Marine Corps ball or something of that nature. And this woman saw a man that was desperately asking for someone to help him find the stairs. And she was getting very emotional because this guy was getting very emotional. He was getting very desperate to find the stairs. And the legend of the man in gray is that the husband of the newlyweds actually went down to the front desk to ask for something early that morning. And the earthquake happened and the chimney fell on the wife and it damaged the staircase and he was trying to get back up there but couldn't get back up there. That's the legend of the man in gray. And there's been, according to his book, there's been people that have seen this man and he'll go around in the lobby on the main floor and ask, hey, can you tell me where the stairs are? Can you show me the stairs?
Huh.
But according to the research that I found, they were both in bed. I only have a couple of sources one way or the other, and I can't kind of corroborate which one is correct. If you are listening and you see that there's a man in gray asking for the stairs, make sure you write that down in the logbook for future
reference.
The other kind of operation that has been mentioned is a child. Again, as we said, I don't have any records of there being a child that died, but one of the people, possibly a medium person, did state very strongly in their written record of what happened that this child was named Julia Rose, and she was a child that died in the hotel when she was 10.
Yeah.
And I thought that strangely specific.
That is very strangely specific.
But I can't find anything on her. So there's been a child or so that has been mentioned. There's actually a picture. If you were to go through that logbook, you can look at a picture that looks like a child apparition down in the basement.
Like somebody took a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there is that kind of picture evidence. And then the craziest story that I was reading was of a woman. I believe she worked here. She was walking out for the day through the back kind of hallway into the loading dock area and basically walked out into a party. There was just all these people out on the lawn. There were five men that were kind of in suits and hats around the loading dock door. There was music, old-timey music that was playing. And she just kind of was like looking around like, what are you guys doing?
So she saw a whole Great Gatsby.
Yeah, like a whole Great Gatsby era type of party.
Apparition party.
On the lawn.
Wow.
And according to her story, she asked one of the guys, a handsome man in a top hat, what are you doing? And he didn't answer the question, but he asked her to dance. And she just said, what are you doing? And he didn't respond. And so she just kept walking, but there was people, there's glasses tinkling and laughter and music and dancing. And she just walked out into this whole thing.
Wow.
And then walked to her car and then was like, maybe I should go back and check on that. And then couldn't ever get back to that area with her car.
Wow. So the child apparition's a mystery.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned the woman with her hair in the bun.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's the wife.
You're assuming that was the newlywed,
mm-hmm.
which if she's been seen by the bed, smiling or overlooking.
Yeah, that's where I went with the protection kind of thing. It's like she seems to be
a reassuring
presence whenever somebody mentions her.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
They feel warm and comforted.
That she's looking out for
mm-hmm.
them. Yeah. Because I would say, and if the man in the gray suit or the man in gray is trying to find the stairs to go find her, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to find each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gives me chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
Ugh, I wouldn't want to be separated for eternity, but it makes a good story.
Part of me is, maybe I need to stay in the hotel more to try and see one of these. But then I'm also, part of me is also, I don't want to see it.
I don't want to experience this.
But that's pretty cool.
So the final stat breakdown is that we have an April and September fire. We have an April earthquake. And then Crocker died in August and Billings died in October. Now, I tried to find month-wise, like if you're trying to plan your stay, when you can stay.
Dates of when apparitions are seen or experienced.
So of the ones that are recording, there's 9 sightings in June, 8 in May, 7 in April. So it seems to be that stretch of time is the most active.
Quickly approaching.
And we are quickly approaching that time frame.
Yeah. So this episode is being recorded
at
the end of February. It is the leap year, but by the time it gets published, it'll probably be April or May.
Yeah. And then if you were trying to figure out where to stay, the East Wing seems to have the most hauntings recorded of 13. West and Main building both have 9. So if you are going to write your story, please do any future investigation a favor and write down the date and where you were staying, not just room number, but also wing number. For those of us, myself, that has not stayed in there, I do not know what room number correlates to what wing. And then please write legibly. Because there were a few that were, I will say, like myself, doctor handwriting, where it seems to be the higher the thought process, the messier the writing. So that's it. That's all I've got.
I think that's pretty cool. That was a great history of not just really the Hotel Del Monte that's here on campus that we are currently sitting below, but also just the local.
We're in the basement.
Yeah, we're in the basement. That was just a really cool little history of the Monterey area. And then also we get some superstition and stuff in there. That was really
good, cool. Good story.
Well, thank you for inviting me here, Elena, and asking me to share this story with you today.
Thanks.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Me too. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this content, please leave a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Let us know that you like the episode. And if there's anything else that you would like to learn about, any naval history or naval postgraduate school history or just in the general area, let me know.
Thanks for joining us in the Trident Room. For more information about today's guests and topics, please visit the show notes online at nps.edu/TridentRoomPodcast. The Trident Room podcast has been brought to you by the Naval Postgraduate School Alumni Association and Foundation. For questions, comments, and suggestions, please email us at tridentroompodcasthost@nps.org.